to warn you. You're doomed to stay. Go. Go.
Hey, yo, Michael and Jason and Chucky, get ready. Heather's moving to Elm Street, kicking it with Freddy. Cause Heather loves horror.
What's your favorite scary movie?
You're the man.
Heather loves horror.
I'm just trying to add John Colvin. How's it going?
Is that it?
Yes, how are you doing?
Good. I got you. God, I've never done this before. I'm just like sitting around staring at my phone going, what do I do now? But you, it was so easy. It's just typical of some old guy staring at his phone.
Yeah, usually when I do Instagram Live, other people are in control of it. So it's kind of new to me too.
Where should I put this? Does it matter what you're looking at?
Just whatever you're comfortable with.
Okay, I'll go in the bathroom. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm most comfortable in the bathroom.
How's everyone doing today? How are you doing, John?
I'm doing great. It's beautiful here in California. I'm going to go ride a horse after this. Yeah. What are you doing?
Nothing. I'm just, preparing for this. No big deal. Been happening every day, so
I was in Texas at that wave pool in Waco, man. I thought about you guys in Dallas because I flew into Dallas and then we took a van to Waco and it was fucking bitching, man. We had so much fun. Yeah, that's the best I can do. Oh my god, I see people that I know filing up on this. It's the weirdest thing. Like people, that's crazy. I can't believe it. Are we live right now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I better watch what I say.
Mm-hmm. I have a potty mouth. Thank you all for joining. Maybe if y'all want to ask some questions later, like if y'all want to drop some questions or something, we'll try to get to what we can. But anyway, so how are you enjoying October?
I love October. September, October are the best times in where I live in Malibu. The weather's great. Mm-hmm. A lot of the kids go back to school. The surf's really good. The season's changing, so we get some beautiful cloudy days and then some beautiful sunny days. It's like it's the best time in California, I think. So I've been having a great time. It's been a busy 2 months. And next week I'm going to Santa Fe, New Mexico, too. I've been traveling around a little bit. And it's been really fun. I've had a great October.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it. So I know you said, about Texas Frightmare and everything. So you had a good time out there? You think maybe you'd go back again?
Oh, I would love to go back again. That was my first time at that con, and I met so many cool people, and everybody was so nice. And the organization, it was like a well-oiled machine. It was so great. And I understand that was only half full. Like it gets twice as busy. It was the best time I've ever had at a con for sure. Of course I'd go back. I love staying in the airport. You don't have to go anywhere. You got that huge city beneath you, like the trains, monorail trains swirling around. It's really fun. Loved it.
Yeah. I'm glad you had fun. Okay. So I guess, do you want to start off by talking about like your life with surfing and everything, or do you want to start talking about movies first?
I don't need to talk about surfing, really. I don't, I mean, unless someone has a question about surfing. I like, you know, it's a big part of my life and everything, but I don't need to talk about it. You, Heather loves horror, and I love horror too. So, you know, I'm happy to talk about horror. There's so much horror going on right now, and it's given me like this second life, you know, with conventions and stuff. So I'm stoked about it. I'll talk about anything you want. I don't care.
Okay. Okay. So I guess we'll go through like, I guess each of your movies and just talk a little bit about them. I guess we'll start with Children of the Corn. You played Amos, right?
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about what that was like?
Yeah, I mean, Children of the Corn was the first movie I ever made. I mean, I graduated college, you know, I'd done a couple plays, and then I got an agent, and he sent me on an audition. You know, it took me a while to learn how to audition for film, but the first film I ever got was Children of the Corn, and it was the first movie set I'd ever been on, and like the first day I showed up, and like, I think I said this, the thing, there's like a stuntman and some other people in my trailer because I was the new guy. I was like, is this what it's like? Is this me getting hazed for being in a movie? But I think one of the first scenes I ever shot in a movie was, you know, carving my chest up with that knife, and it was a prop, and they had like a tube coming out of it. And I was so excited and so nervous and so happy to be making a movie, you know. You can hear the camera, the film spurling through the threads. It's such a great to look at another actor and say a line in character and have them talk back to you in character. It's just, it was a great experience. And I had to do another movie right after that that was a radically different character. And so my agent said, hey, use this low budget horror movie as a learning tool. So you learn how to work with the camera, the cameraman, you know, the lights and everything, so that you're, you know, you're more prepared for your second one. And as it turns out, that this little Children of the Corn movie became this, you never know if a movie's going to have a following or be any good or anyone's going to like it, but it turned out to be a movie that so many people enjoyed. So it's kind of given, you know, it's given me this second appreciation for it. People are asking me questions about Children of the Corn, the first movie I ever did in 1983, I think. And it's really fun to take that trip down memory lane. But I didn't, and obviously the most exciting scenes I did in that movie were walking into the cornfield with those night lights on and those actors, you know, and that the monster was in the corn and all the kids are lined up, and it's like, and the cameras are rolling and you're like going to your death. It was really fun and exciting. Oh my God, I see people I know on this thing. That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Yeah, I've never done one of these before. But you're going in and out.
Oh, am I?
You're frozen right now on my screen. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Maybe, and that's my computer.
Let me turn off my laptop. Can you hear me? Or
I hear you perfectly. You're just a frozen blob on my little phone.
Okay. Oh well. I don't know how to fix that.
But I don't think it matters.
So what? Yeah. Nobody wants to see me anyway. But so what was it like? Okay, like you said, you don't know when something's going to be a small movie or not. And, of course, Children of the Corn turned out to be something much bigger. What was it like for The Return of the Living Dead? Did you expect it to be even, like, a smidgen of successful as it was? I mean, it's got a great cast.
It's got a great cast now because it's developed into a cult movie. Again, while we were making it, nobody really knew what they were doing. There was an actor's strike, so we were just, all the actors were just really lucky to be working. I don't think anybody understood O'Bannon's vision for the film, because it was the very first comedy, zombie, punk rock combination, you know, movie. Now, all the zombie movies are you know, have humor in them. But this was the first one that was a outrageous riot comedy with punk rock. I was thrilled about the music. I was, you know, really happy to be working, but I'd never been in a zombie movie. Not that many people had at that time. So we're all reacting, which is great. We're all reacting like, what the fuck is going on? You know, like, these zombies are running, they're eating brains and they're making jokes. It's like, we had no idea what was going on. Or I didn't. Some smarter actors might have known what was happening, but I just wasn't smart enough actor or didn't take paying enough attention on days that I wasn't working. Like, when I was working, I was just with that group of punk rocks in the rain running from zombies. I never got to work with Tom Matthews, you know, which is too bad because he's been since then. But James Karen, you know, and Don Calfa, those guys were stuff that was just outside of me and figure out how, you know, they're just so great. Dan O'Bannon just had a vision that was unique, and that's why I like to consider him. I refer to him as a genius because his vision was original. You know, he has original thought, and he put together this cast. We had to audition with each other for weeks, you know, like, it seemed weird, but he was just trying to get a chemistry down and get to see how we were doing, you know, because he had so much on his plate when we were, he didn't want to have to worry about the actors' performances. So sure, he got the right people that fit his idea. I was just playing a nerd, you know, over sincere nerd trying to be cool, and that worked fine for me, you know, as it turns out. That just worked fine for me. In love with a girl that hated me, and that's funny now and great. At the time, I was just this nobody liked Chuck, you know. But now some people are like, oh, I think Chuck was cool, which is the greatest thing in the world to hear, because it means they've seen it a couple times looking at it through different perspectives. But I swear, when we made that movie, I thought it was never going to come out, and no one's going to see it if it does come out. And I think it was 30 years later, I was this movie I've ever been involved in, because it just had an original look to it, and people appreciate that and love it. I love it too now. Cast is like a family to me now. Go to cons, they're like family. I never even talked to them or after that, or saw them part of the movie develop the cult status, which takes about 20 years, 25 years.
That's still so cool though, especially that y'all are like a family and you know, probably pick up where y'all left off and you'll see one another.
You have to shout into your mic to hear you.
Oh, okay. So what about the new kids? That was kind of a different role also.
The new kids. Yeah, I think that was I had a copy of that. I think that was the third movie I ever did, and it was out in Florida. We went to, also I had to fly out to Florida and do the same. Back in the day, you used to audition with your ensemble cast members, you know, over and over again, and film with your cast members to get chemistry. They're looking for chemistry, and they could afford it. They had time for us to work with each other, you know, until they whittled it down. They decide, you know, who gets the golden ring that day. You know, when you're an actor in Hollywood, like, the day you get a job, you're the luckiest actor in Hollywood, you know. And I was thrilled. That means I get to go to Florida for like 10 weeks and live in a hotel with Jimmy Spader and Eric Stoltz and great actors that I admired, you know, and then a couple of new people that I didn't know, and a TV star, Lori Loughlin, and just work on a character for 10 weeks, you know, like, you're there from the first shot to the last shot. That they don't do it that way now. But, and so you just spend a lot of time getting to know people. You have days off and you're traveling all around. Like, you got 3 days off, but, you know, you and your buddies go to Miami or Key West, or just having great movie. They're like movie experiences that I'm sure people are still having them today when they work on series and stuff in Atlanta. I'm not, but I will again, I'm sure. It was super fun, and I loved the character I played, Gideon. He was such a badass, and I got to dig into some, you know, some hate, which was really fun. And, you know, it's fun when you're in a safe place, you know, and the actors are all supporting you, and you can be as dark and weird and ugly as you want to be when you're playing an ugly character. And that's a great experience. We did a lot of night shooting and, you know, shooting guns and fist fighting at night in a carnival. Mm-hmm. It's just so surreal. And Lori was such a good sport, man. She had to take so much abuse. And she was such a pro at it. She was so good. And then just working with Jimmy Spader is just such a, and Eric Stoltz, Eric was one of my best friends, you know, for a long time. And Jimmy became one of my really good friends. We all used to hang out together a lot, and just watching his process of becoming, you know, uber successful actor was really fun. And it's just, he was so serious about it. And that really was a beautiful thing to watch, to be able to see. It was super fun. Sean Cunningham, you know, Friday the 13th creator, would talk about, you know, some of his ideas. And, we didn't know what Friday the 13th was going to become back then. You know, we just know he owned it. He wrote it and directed it or whatever and owned Friday the 13th. And it was like a hit. And we're like, yeah, horror movies are profitable. You can tell it now. The Friday the 13th movie that just came out with Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, beat out James Bond. So it's like, you know, horror movies are, people love them, you know. And back then we weren't sure, you know, back then horror movies were just B movies. They were low budget B movies designed to make money because they're so cheap to make. They use kids in them. And you just get a bucket of blood and stuff. And, you know, the movies made money financially. The producers were, that's what they were all about. But then horror became awesome. What was that sound? I wonder what that was.
I don't know. I might have had an email or something.
Okay.
Well, I know you said that, you know, you looked up to a lot of those people on the set, but I'm sure there are lots of people who look up to you. How does that make you feel? I saw, like, in your $2 late fee episode, you and Matt Adler were both being humble, like, talking about who got who the job for North.
Yeah, I mean, that, it's weird. I don't think about myself that way ever. I mean, I don't think about myself that way. If somebody says something like it kind of like that, it surprises me because I studied acting for so long and so seriously that it's really, I'm just looking at the ability of a person to take the tools of the craft and apply them in the moment. And it doesn't matter how, I don't know, you have so much respect and love for your fellow actors when you're working with them. I'll support and love everybody I've ever worked with for the rest of my life, because those moments are so intense. It's you're living in this world that you created along with all these variables of things that are getting thrown at you. So when the director says action, you have an intense bond with the person you're working with. And that's the only thing I think about, you know, when I'm working with other actors or when I'm, after I've worked with them. I can't walk around thinking, you know, I never think about myself as an accomplished actor. I mean, I'm from Hollywood. I'm, you know, if anything, I think about myself as overtrained, underemployed actor that hates to work from Los Angeles, that just would rather go surfing. I mean, that's kind of a callous, sarcastic way of looking at myself. But And believe me, I dream of acting. I invested so much time in my life and I love it so much, you know, but my love for it is really just bound with my respect for other actors and what they have to go through and what they do to be real with me in a moment. And that's all I care about, really. So I don't think about someone looking up to me or why they would look up to me. I don't look at myself that way at all.
Yeah, I kind of figured you didn't. That's kind of why I wanted to ask. Because, you know.
That just makes me uncomfortable. Because, I mean, I'm from Los Angeles. So my friends, I mean, the people I know that I came up with that, you know, are, I mean, they're like, you know, they're full-time, super successful actors that have made a career out of it. Whereas I feel like I just kind of dabbled in it and I loved it. It was my passion. But I feel like I kind of got lucky I feel like I got lucky for being in a couple of really cool movies that ended up being cool, you know, because I was young. I was a young man in Hollywood, you know, and it was, I don't want to say easy, but I think you heard this if you listen to me and Matt's thing. Back in the 80s, if you're a young white male with a modicum of charm and or talent or craft, and you could bring that into a room, you could get cast in movies. It was amazing. And I got lucky in that I got to be in, so lucky that I was in Children of the Corn and Return of the Living Dead, movies I didn't even know what I was doing in. I'm just this new guy, this new bile kid just going, okay, I'm just going to open my eyes and say these words and think about, you know, what my acting class what I worked on. And then it's on film and it's forever. You forget about it. And you think, oh, that was a failure. You know, I'm in this really bad movie. I'm a small part in these really bad movies. And then the movies become loved. And you're like, God, you like that? This is why I feel this way. I'm like, wow, you like that? That's awesome. I like you. I mean, it's just this mutual, like, if someone's like, God, that was, I mean, I have really good friends that aren't actors that'll see one of these movies and just go, that's not your best work, John. You know, or they're like hypercritical, like my father, for example. He's like, I can't even watch it. You know, so I'm not used to anybody going, that's great. Thank you. That doesn't, you know, the only place I see that interaction with another human being is at a convention. And it's awesome. And Matt Adler agrees. I brought him to a movie of North Shore. He just thought it ruined his life and everybody hated him and he was a joke. I bring him to this movie and there's hundreds, now thousands of people that love him because of his participation in that movie, which is the exact opposite of what he imagined was reality. That the truth was the exact opposite and a very positive, wonderful thing. And that's what's great about film. It's got a life, you know, people can rediscover it and have a sincere relationship, organic reaction to it, and then they can meet the person and go, thanks, that was cool. And that's great for us.
Yeah. Well, but on behalf of the horror community, thank you. Because we all love the movies.
Yeah, I feel incredibly lucky. And I am a horror fan. So God, I loved horror since I was a little boy, you know, like growing up, I came from a kind of a rough, a scary household, and my imagination was my first addiction, and my imagination was all about horror and gore, you know. When I was growing up, all I did was circle the movies that said horror on the TV guide in black and white, and they were mostly monster movies: Frankenstein, The Invisible Man, The Wolfman, The Mummy, and I would just watch all those old black and white horror movies. The Haunting was my favorite. Oh, The Haunting's on, and I just stay in and watch horror movies in the middle of the day on the weekend, which is the only time I could, because he had to go to school all the other times. It's the weekend, I'm gonna stay inside, circle the TV guide horror movie, and just watch horror movies. My parents are like, don't you wanna go outside and play? I didn't discover going outside and playing until I'd seen all the horror movies so many times, and then I started buying the horror movie, you know, monsters that you could glue together. The models of the monsters from horror movies, the Creature of the Black Lagoon and stuff. And then I'd build a little guillotine. I would chop their heads off and paint blood on them. And my parents were like, John, you have a morbid, you have a very macabre, kind of grotesque imagination, don't you? But, you know, and then I'd draw pictures of some little boy cutting the arms and legs off an adult, you know, hacking him with blood splurting. They're like, is this supposed to be us? And I'm like, no, it's just somebody. But yeah, I was all about horror when I was a little kid. And then I got into surfing, which changed, you know, what my brain was exposed to. Then my brain was all about being exposed to a natural environment. And that kind of changed my life. Anyway, did you ask me questions? Babbling.
They were asked favorite Universal monster. And
oh,
so I figured I'd ask you.
Do I have a favorite monster?
Yes.
I mean, I love all my monsters, you know? Like, I love Frankenstein, and I was scared. I love the Invisible Man. He was so evil, and he scared me so much. Mm-hmm. You know, and I really love the Creature from the Black Lagoon. It's like a fetish thing, because I became a surfer, but he would swim sideways underwater with those claws on and look up at a beautiful girl swimming in the water. And I'm like, that was the, I think the first horror movie that crossed sex with horror for me. I was just starting to come alive when the creature of the Black Lagoon fell in love with that beautiful girl that was swimming in his lake and wanted to take her, you know, and, you know, fight the guy for her. And I, that movie just, and I love the creature of the Black Lagoon. I love him so much. And yeah, I met him at a convention once. I went to a convention and met him. I'm like, fuck, you're the creature. I mean, he's a world-class swimmer, you know, and I was all about surfing and those claws. I used to swim. I still do sometimes. I'll go to a pool somewhere and swim underwater sideways, looking up. If I'm lucky, I'll look up at a beautiful girl while I'm swimming underwater. I'll replay Creature of the Black Lagoon scenes in real life now. So I'd have to say the creature wins. For me, but I love them.
That's my favorite, and it seems to be a common favorite in the chat.
Oh, yeah, I guess I should read that. There's so much going. Oh my God, I know that some of these people are so sweet and nice. I've never hooked in onto a Heather. You're a big hit. I can't believe how popular you are.
I think it's, but thanks for the credit. Yeah. You should take the credit then.
Oh, I've never done this before. You're awesome. Look at all these people. They dig you. Good for you, Heather. Yeah, I saw you at, you might not remember meeting me at in Texas. You were hanging out with all the cool kids, all the cool local guys, you know, like late. You know, I only saw you once at the whole thing was over and you guys were partying, you know, and I was like, went out to get a cigarette. And you guys were all the local cool convention people were hanging out and you tried to take out a post. You were with the, you were with all the cool guys and you ran into that post. I was like, that's not coming down, but I'm glad you're all right.
I was hoping you wouldn't remember that or anyone else, but you know,
we all remember our best part of the night. Well,
well, thank you.
Maybe
it was definitely fun.
Good.
An unforgettable experience. So thank you. I know people will kill me if we don't talk about North Shore, but I wanted to ask about Undateable John first, because that was one of my favorites, and I also noticed a few, like two or three people had mentioned it in the comments.
Undateable John. I love that movie. So I was hanging around. I was in LA, and I was like sober, and I had wrestled with addiction and alcoholism, and I was, and this person who had also had similar experience had written a little short story about her worst date ever with this guy who I knew. And she goes, hey, you know, and she was kind of a filmmaker and a writer. She's like, I wrote this little short about this terrible experience I had with your friend, John. And I'm like, great. And she goes, would you be an actor again? Would you like to be an actor and act it out? Would you shoot it on iPhones and make a short? And I'm like, yeah, sure. But Tin, I'm not going to play my friend, John. I mean, I'm not going to play him. He's gonna know it's about him, and I'm not gonna do, I've known him longer than I've known you, and you had a bad date with him. I'm not gonna do that to my friend. That's not cool. And you should tell him you're writing something about your bad experience with him, you know, because people are gonna find out, whatever. And also, it's in the sober community, you know, there's some people who don't think you should talk about it or make films about it or whatever. I don't give a shit. You know, I don't care if anybody knows I'm sober. I'm sober, and I love it, and it's the best life ever for me. But I said, yeah, I'll do it, but I won't make a serious movie about it. I can't stand serious movies. I mean, unless they're really serious. But I just don't. I don't want to. This wasn't going to be really serious. There's too much humor in it. I said, yeah, I'll just play a version of me as if I was that bad date for you. She's like, sure. So we made him a surf instructor, which I am. You know, we made him struggling with sobriety, which I have, you know, bouncing in and out of, you know, being clean, relapsing, you know, which I have. And she ended up casting a bunch of really good actors. Like and it became a feature length film. I didn't expect that. I go, oh, you have Daryl Hannah and Tom Arnold and Estella Warren. Well, what do you want me for? Just get a real actor. She's like, John, you are a real actor. I hadn't worked in a film, let alone been the lead in 20 years. And I'm like, okay, you want me to do it? She goes, yeah, you've been working on the character. You developed the character. I said, okay, I'm going to be the lead in a feature film with those actors. And I'm like, I'll do it, you know? So I, you know, immediately stopped eating and went on a, you know, not a vegan, but I'm gluten-free. Like, as soon as I found out I had to be in the lead in a film, I had to take my shirt off. I'm like, I'm gluten-free. Just salads from now on, which is what every actress has to do for her entire life. But, you know, I rode my motorcycle to the set, and I was like, I'm nervous. I'm scared. I can't believe I'm going to, you know, be the lead in this movie. And so I rode my motorcycle on Mulholland to the first day of filming, and I thought, if I can ride my motorcycle on Mulholland, then I don't need to be afraid of acting in a movie. I mean, it's been a long time, but I think I'll pick it back up again. And I'll tell you, it was so much fun. The first day sucked. Horrible. But after the first day, I just decided, oh, wow, this is my life. This is my movie. I'm going to have fun with it. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to have fun, and I don't care what anybody thinks about me. And that's a very freeing feeling as an actor, especially for me, not to be self-conscious and to do this is what I want to do in this scene. And so that movie was so much fun for me. We laughed so hard. Now, we might have laughed more than the audience laughed, but I really loved some of the work in that movie, and I'm glad you saw it. It's on Amazon Prime, and I don't think, like, my it's so funny. I always keep coming back to my dad. I love my dad right now. He's such a great guy. But, you know, he was so hard on me when I was young. And he was so wanted to see this movie so bad. He used to go, when's John coming out? When's Undateable John coming out? I can't wait to see, you know, you're in a movie. You haven't been in a movie in 20 years. I can't believe your acting career, you know? And I'm like, well, nobody wanted to hire me, Dad. But, I mean, yeah, I'm in this movie. And then it came out. And I sent him the link. And I asked him how it was. And I asked him for, like, I think 4 weeks. And he never saw it. And then he saw a little bit of it. And he goes, and he wouldn't say anything about it. And he goes, I couldn't watch it. He told his wife it was like unwatchable. So I was calling it unwatchable for a while. But I loved it. And I shouldn't really care if someone doesn't like it. But, you know, I thought it was fun. And so, yeah, I got to be the lead in a feature with those great actors again and rekindle kind of my appreciation for it. Because real hard, those guys work. Low budget filmmaking is not, it's 14 hour days, and then repeat. So it's a hard life for the cast and the crew and directors and producers. I admire low budget filmmakers. It was really fun. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome. I think it was great. It was funny and charming and witty at the same time. And
cool, that's the best review we've gotten. That's
you're a great actor. You need to stop saying that. Like, you're a great actor too. So
Heather,
maybe
thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm good.
And I know these people in the audience will or the chat would back me up. So, well, I guess would you like to talk about North Shore because?
Would I like to talk about it? It's one of those.
I know people had. In the beginning had mentioned North Shore.
Yeah, if anybody has any questions about it, I mean, I've talked that movie, a lot of opportunities to talk about North Shore because I'm still in the surfing community and I'm still hooked in with actors and fans of surf movies. And, you know, I teach surfing and it is a perfect example of a movie that bombed when it came out. Nobody went to see it. It was financially did not make money for Universal Studios. All the actors thought, oh, this is bad. Even though making the movie was the best experience of my life, great experience, but I thought, oh, this movie bombed, you know, shit, I'm a surfer and I really care about surfing. And I didn't want to embarrass myself surfing world. And when the movie wasn't a huge, like, you know, okay, well, moving on. I mean, I'm an actor, so I'm working on other things. I didn't think about it much. Yeah. And it wasn't it took 20 years for that movie to become a hit, a cult hit. And when it did, I was very surprised. Not as surprised as Matt Adler, but I was very surprised when I went to a local screening of it and there was just a bunch of fans. I mean, fans who knew all the lines, who had, you know, who grew over and over again on VHS. VHS and on cable. VHS is what brought it back. You know, VHS. But yeah, it became this thing, it kind of became a cult phenomenon in the surfing world, and even people that don't surf, you know, who wish they surf, wanted to know what surfing was like. It got lines from that movie have become ubiquitous surf culture, you know, iconic scenes and lines. And I couldn't be, it's the biggest surprise ever, you know, like you wait 30 years later. That movie's way more popular now than it was, you know, ever. And I've got friends, God, I don't look down at the thing very much, but I've got friends that love it too. And I've met because of the movie. Really, that movie, wonderful thing for me, because I surfing world, and it kind of gave me an entrance in my level of it that I could never have entered in through my own talent as a surfer. I'm a recreational casual cruiser surfer, but I get to know and be world-class pro surfers and international surfers, you know, and see their lives and be like, talk to them as if, you know, we were peers or equals. they treat me like I'm their friends, which is really fun for me. And yeah, I'll surf the rest of my life. And it was because of that movie. I had stopped surfing when I made that movie, when I was just working as an actor, and I met Jerry Lopez, who's one of my heroes to this day, and always was, and was back then too, just one of my heroes in life. And he told me, John, don't quit surfing. Never quit surfing again. It doesn't matter what you're doing for a living or how much time it takes you. Just always surf, because it's one of the cheapest, the best exercise and recreation. You can do it for the rest of your life all over the world. So never quit surfing again. And I never did. After that movie, Indonesia at G-Land, which is my favorite and his favorite place to go surf in the world, and we'd be doing it, you know, still doing it. I spent 6 weeks in G-Land this year, and my good friends from surf camp, he's 72 years old, and he spent the whole summer at the gnarliest surf camp wave in the world. And like, God, you're my fucking hero, Larry. Larry McGraw is his name. I've been surfing G-Land with him for 30 years, you know, ever since I started going there. So anyway, yeah, North Shore is just the greatest. In fact, yeah, I've met some great artists. I've got paintings of North Shore. I became lifelong friends with Matt Adler, who's in that picture, you know, and it went from this little movie I did, it only took 6 weeks to film it, and it wasn't a hit, into this thing that informed my life. It's grown in its importance and how it's informed my life. So a wonderful experience. And I've talked a lot about it in the surfing podcast and stuff, but it never gets old for me. It's a wonderful thing, a good thing. I love it. I think you're really got a lot of people, Heather.
You brought the audience.
I didn't advertise it. I wanted to post it on my social, which isn't big, but I didn't know how. I didn't know how to share it. I hope it got, I don't care. I'm babbling.
No, you're good. I'm trying to think. Let's see. Do any of y'all have any questions y'all want to ask?
Oh, wow. You open it up for questions. Luke says hi. Hi, Luke. My Amanda, my beautiful niece, had a beautiful little baby boy, Luke. Little peanut. He's super cute. She's just an amazing Amanda. Congratulations. I guess he's talking now because he said hi. That's so amazing. Those people like, I hardly ever get to see. I get to say hi to him. That's cool. It's shared on my mind. Well, I'm not going to read that because I'm just stupid. I'm just going to sit here. If you ask a question, I'll answer it.
They're saying hi. I love you. Let's see. Favorite quotes. I can tell you're lame by the way you wear your shorts. Favorite movie of all time? Not sure. Fantastic actor. Undateable John was great, buddy. We loved it. You feel your struggle. I know probably a lot of people. I'm surprised no one's like, hey, will you be on my podcast? Let's see. No question. Just a giant fan here. Just wrapped a surfboard to replicate yours in the movie. That's awesome. Someone comment on your print. Well, what do you have anything, any acting coming up? Like, you have
me? Are you talking to me? Yeah, you know, here's what happened in Texas that I'm really excited about. Because I've kind of been out of the act. I haven't had an agent or anything in 25 years. I just kind of retired. You know, I'm on a little SAG pension. I've just been teaching surfing full time for 25 years, except for every once in a while, somebody who's making a movie will ask me to be in it. Undateable John's the best example of that, that I need, you know, in that movie. But I've done a couple little horror movies. You know, one's called Ghost Babe and one's called Bikini Beach Massacre or something really gnarly. There's no, I don't think about North Shore 2 thing, but people talk about it a lot. It might happen. I've never read a good script for it, and I don't know that Universal is interested in making it again, but, you know, I don't want to ever say never. I've never been in a sequel, but I don't want to say never, because actors like to work, you know, and, you know, if I start, I think I'm going to start acting again because I'm still alive. I really love it. The 80s are making a comeback. Apparently, casting directors are looking for 80s faces. So I'm in Texas at the HorrorCon in Dallas, and I met this guy, Chris, who's an amazing manager, and Karen, who's his partner, and they're like, you know, do you want a theatrical representation? And I'm like, yeah, why not? Sure, of course. I would love to. So I signed with them as a theatrical, you know, actor. I had to go get headshots. I hadn't done that in 25, 30 years or something ridiculous. So now I guess I'm going to be throwing my hat in the ring for, you know, professionally, instead of just being this retired guy. Like, I get all my jobs in the parking lots at surf spots. There's a lot, you know, a lot of people making movies, you know, in LA, they surf. So they'll see me in the parking lot and go, hey, will you be in my horror movie? And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. Or my little surf. Sure. But these are just super, super low budget things. But now I'm going to. I think my cousin, I have a cousin, his name's Michael Malley, and he's a kind of a big deal, and he's a real big deal. And he's show running and one of the lead actors in this Stars series called Heels, which is about wrestlers. And I'm like giving his kids surf lessons. He's like, I want you to be in my show, Heels. And I'm like, I want to be in your show. So he goes, let me hear your Georgian accent. And I'm like, talking a Georgia accent in a surf parking lot. And he goes, okay, you are going to be in my show, Heel. So I'm pegging all my hopes on that. No, I'm just kidding. I just live my life. And if I get shows and TVs and movies, it's all this and gravy. I really, really enjoy it. Acting is really fun. And I love entertainment. I'm just a fan. I just go to it all the time. And I'll bet you didn't get to go see that movie Titane. That French horror movie, did you, Heather?
No, I looked. They don't have it anywhere locally playing. I was so upset. I looked immediately, and I couldn't find anywhere. I think it says, like, within 50 miles or 100 miles, something like that. And it gave me
that's nothing.
I probably should have tried with Lake Charles, but that's one I definitely check out.
Yeah, it made a big impression on me. They don't make movies like that. It's hard to find a movie like that. That's such.
Yeah, I feel like I have to go to either like foreign horror or like 70s or 80s horror a lot to kind of switch it up from what we have now. And
yeah, no, I know. They don't make movies like they used to. That's why we love them. But this is a great.
Mm-hmm.
French. Yeah, gotta see a French Europe or Korea. Korea's still making some good ones. Korean and French horror.
I agree. I feel like I'd probably lean more to Korean horror just because it seems like that's more of what I seem to stumble across, you know, more than the French.
Horror movies were so brilliant and frightening. The serial, they're so good, and no, people weren't watching to watch them on Netflix and like just sit and just watch Korean horror movies for a day. I loved it.
Yeah, pretty awesome. I was gonna say too, like with indie horror, like you never know what who's gonna reach out to you for that. Like, I know I've met a lot of people involved in indie horror lately, and they all seem to, you know, be interested in the same actors that I am, and you know, appreciate the same people. So you never know what who will reach out to you, but it would be awesome to see you in some more upcoming stuff. And like,
thanks.
I know you're gonna have opportunities, so
yeah, just stay alive. Where there's life, there's hope. That's a good motto. Stay alive and keep going one foot in front of the other. And it's amazing what the universe can, the opportunity you can get.
True. That's so true. Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I know it's been almost an hour, I guess. Is there anything else you would like to talk about or anything like that?
Next weekend, Santa Fe, New Mexico. I've never been there before. It's a con. It's going to be fun. I want to come back to Dallas for sure. Waco's got a great surf park in it. It's only 2 hours outside. It's really cool. And thanks for having me on and asking me questions, you know, and I appreciate it. It's nice kind of meeting you. And really,
thank you for the opportunity.
Tuned in. That was a surprise. I thought it was just.
Oh, well, thank you for everything. Like, I appreciate it. It was great to meet you. And I know everybody's glad to see your face on here. And I think everybody's just as thankful as I am. So, everyone, thanks again.
Thank you. Bye, buddy.
Bye. Take care.